Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever.
We've all heard the expression, carpe diem, seize the day. We feel good about ourselves when we get that project accomplished or get those tasks and errands done that we've been putting off. And there's sometimes drudgery to do them, but we feel good after we've gotten them done. And very often we attach great importance to them. For instance, getting our taxes done this time of year. If you think about it, very often this term, carpe diem, and I would say almost all the time, refers to our accomplishments that just pertain to the mundane and temporal things of our lives. When it comes to the urgency of our spiritual lives, our communion with God, eternal life, making spiritual progress and further growth in the kingdom, we often think that we've got all the time in the world, or even worse, that we've already arrived, that we're good enough as it is, that we'll be saved anyway. This seems to me to be a particular problem that we suffer in America. I'm not sure why that is, but there's this general sense of entitlement that we're already in the kingdom, no matter what. The reality is, of course, we know from our faith that our days are numbered. Our earthly lives will all come to an end, some sooner, some later. And St. Paul urges us always that we have to continue throughout our lives to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. He doesn't tell us this if at the same time it's automatic that everyone will be saved. He tells us this because it's incumbent on us to seize the day. It's incumbent on us to take our faith seriously in its application in our daily lives. Christ God is coming back to judge the living and the dead. We profess this every divine liturgy. Each of us will prostrate ourselves before his judgment seat and give an account for how we've listened to and heeded the gospel of Christ, how we've applied it to our daily lives. In a single moment, all of our choices and all of our sins will be brought to the fore. And so we have an opportunity to ask ourselves, how ready am I now to appear before Christ's judgment seat? The sobering truth is that as we know God now in this life, so we'll experience Him in the next life. We'll be judged based on this personal knowledge and experience of Him, or sadly, the lack thereof. We're changeable. God is not. We're fickle. God is steadfast. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our culture and its values change constantly, as does every culture. The truth of God remains the same. Today's epistle says, "You, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." Lent challenges us in so many ways. It challenges us to reevaluate where things are at between us and God. It challenges us to make use of the time that we have for repentance, to make use of this holy season for our growth, our healing, our salvation, so that when we die or when Christ comes again, we're not found unprepared. And so we have this opportunity to ask ourselves, where are things now between me and God? Am I ready to be changed this Lent to make spiritual progress towards healing and salvation? Am I striving for life with God more than everything else? Certainly more than the emphasis I put on all of these mundane things in my life. Is my life with Him who is life eternal my priority? If not, God helps us this holy season to change our priorities. Eternal life means communion with the Creator of all life, the one who is and is to come. Hell is a reality insofar as it is a rejection on our part of the life that God is. And that rejection really is possible. And we see it all the time in our own lives when we choose sin over the life with God. If we don't have life, we are in death. And so our epistle goes on to warn us, therefore we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. This is really what death is. It's a drifting away, a removal from the life that God alone is, that communion with Him is, being in His near presence. It is a rejection of His love. We sing Memory Eternal for those that have departed. It's this desire to be remembered by God in His kingdom that we not drift away from God's presence, that we live now with eternity before our eyes, that we're given that extra kick during Lent to make the spiritual progress that you and I need if we're going to be inheritors of paradise, if we're going to be able to be in God's holy and near presence, which is what eternal life is, which is what the kingdom of heaven is. God created us in His great love for us that each of us should be with Him for eternity. But love and relationship, communion, can never be forced on anyone. Otherwise, it's no longer love or communion or relationship, which has to be freely given and received. God, the Holy Trinity, is Himself a relationship and union of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the God we worship and commune with. This is the God who we call on for help, for love, for healing, for our salvation. This is the God who feeds us with the medicine of immortality in the Eucharist. But are we open to the change necessary for continued growth, for healing from our passions and our occasional rebellion against God's love? The ways that you and I miss the mark, that is sin, reject God's love and initiative to make us into the men and women of God that He's created us and called us to be. This is the question that's posed to us today. The paralytic and his friends in today's gospel, they desire change, healing. They desire more than anything else to get their friend and themselves into the near presence of Christ God, the great physician, the one who speaks the truth because He is the truth, the one who can forgive and heal. They desire this so much that they go so far as taking a section of the roof apart to get their friend the paralytic to Jesus when all other ways are blocked. So seeing their faith, fecumide. Seeing their faith, Jesus gives the paralytic the greatest of gifts. His healing from his paralysis? No. Forgiveness of sins. Healing from his sin sickness. Because who can forgive sins but God alone? The one who made us in the first place. This is the priority. That which is eternal is the priority. Having been forgiven and cleansed of his sins, there's nothing standing between him and God, between him and eternal life. Just as Christ says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If there's one verse that sums up our Lenten challenge, it's this verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's only after this miracle of Christ God forgiving this man that Christ to demonstrate to those who doubt and scoff that he is God, that he is life, that he alone has the power of giving life, that he heals the paralytic. Jesus prioritizes the soul over the body because we so often do the reverse. So we fast so that we can bring balance back between our souls and our bodies. When we fast, everything is laid bare. We find ourselves at times irritable and grouchy, and our passions surface. And all of these things need to surface, because otherwise, how do we get to the root of them? How do we get to the cause of them in our lives? How do we give them then over to Christ in sacramental confession, beseeching him to take them from us and help us to not return to the same broken patterns? And so we ask ourselves this day, where does my paralysis lie? What aspect of your life have you not yet relinquished fully to God? C.S. Lewis says, if we accept heaven, we shall not be able to retain even the smallest and most intimate souvenirs of hell. Lent gives us the opportunity to relinquish our hold on these so-called souvenirs, these passions, these habits, our coldness of heart, our preoccupations with all of the mundane things that are constantly swirling around us and that we never have enough time to get done, and that keep us from experiencing and submitting ourselves more fully to the love of God and the life that is only in him. During Lent, Christ God calls us through the church to increase our attendance at church. This isn't some arbitrary rule of God just to make our lives more busy or take up more of our time. It's because this is the spiritual hospital. This is the only place that you and I can really make progress in the life in Christ. During Lent, every single Sunday has a theme to it. Every one of them is important for our growth and our grace. Saturday Vespers, we hear the hymnody of the church given to us to strengthen us so that we don't feel lost in our fasting and lost in the ascetical practices. They give them meaning. They fill them with meaning. Same with the pre-sanctified liturgy. The liturgy itself, even if we don't receive, is its own strengthening and deification, its own encouragement, its own presence with Christ. And so we have to make a priority of these things if we want to make use of the time that God has given us, if we wish to seize the day. In the case of the paralytic in today's gospel, his affirmation, his paralysis brought him to Jesus, the one who created him, the only one who could save him and heal him. He presented himself fully to the master of all, and he was changed in a single moment. He was made whole, soul and body. A new life began for him. Both his spiritual paralysis and his spiritual paralysis found healing from the Lord. And so we ask ourselves, is there anything holding you back from the fullness of the life in Christ offered through his church, which he desires to more than anything to give each one of us? Is there any spiritual sickness or disease of the soul that you need to bring before your Creator and ask to have healed through confession? If the Spirit is willing, God will take care of the rest. Because this is what he has created us for. This is his desire more than anything else for us. St. Gregory Palamas, whose Sunday we celebrate today, reminds us of this truth, saying, since the kingdom of God is at hand, as it is so profoundly now at the Divine Liturgy and all throughout Lent and within us and will soon arrive, let us make ourselves worthy of it by works of repentance. That is, turning back to God and giving of ourselves to reprioritize the life that is only in Him. I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to seize the day, to open yourself up more to God and His healing this Lent through repentance. There is nothing more important for you and I to be doing on Saturday than coming to Vespers. There is nothing more important on the Wednesdays of Lent than for us to get ourselves to the pre-sanctified liturgies and meet Christ and be strengthened by Him. And so we learn through this to expose those wounded and sin-sick places of our hearts, whatever hardness of heart, whatever fear, whatever pride, to the love and light that is Christ God. He who alone can heal us of all of our infirmities. And in so doing, we'll find healing for our souls, and we'll be more prepared not only to meet Christ at Pascha, but also at His second and glorious coming. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever.